During the Clinton administration, I worked in Washington, D.C., and I was walking with a godly friend who, at least at the time, was a registered Democrat and worked for the EPA in Washington. And he and I were walking and talking and thinking through the difficulty of keeping politics in its appropriate place in the church. And what we had noticed is that the more that we fretted about bad things that happened, the more often that we sinfully brought politics into the church. And I want you to know this was especially difficult in Washington, D.C., because all that we ever did was politics. I mean, you went to the mall and there was politics. Everywhere you went, there was politics. Simply a pressure cooker for politics. And both he and I agreed that Republicans and Democrats did different sorts of evil. For instance, we can think of the evil of Bill Clinton that went before him, but we can also think of the evil of the Republican Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, who has just been convicted of molesting young boys. Both parties have sinners in it, yet Dennis Hastert's sin has only now just come to light. And dwelling on these things leads to fretting, and both sides and often unhelpful accusations and a lack of charity. And in our discussion, as he and I were talking, we hit upon what seemed to us the best biblical solution to this, and we found it in Psalm 37. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, please open them to Psalm 37. I'm going to be reading Psalm 37, verse 1 to 9, but our main focus will be on verse 1. Psalm 37 of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Let me read to you our first verse again. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Now, to fret means to an anxiousness or a vexation that is destructive. So to fret is to allow the behavior of evildoers to grind away at you in a corrosive way and in a way that is destructive towards you. The Hebrew word has in it this idea of a slow burning that destroys. And the English word fret has the idea of something being digested or eaten. And so it's a good translation. Now, we need to remark that neither anger nor concern is a sin in and of itself. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And so when we're fretting, we're not merely angry at sin or a sinner. Fretting is something different than being angry at sin. The Bible openly commends godly anger in places like Psalm 119, verse 53. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. So anger against sin is not what is fretting. Fretting is this slow-burning, consuming anger. It lasts longer than a day, and there's no ready way to extinguish it. And fretting leads to an anger of sin, and most importantly, it leads to irritation with God. Now, fretting is also a form of anxiety, and it is different than that expressed by Paul when he commends being anxious about the things of the Lord. And so the Bible teaches that there's two kinds of anxiousness. There's a godly sort of anxiousness, someone being anxious for the things of the Lord, and then there's this sinful sort of anxiety, which is fretting. And so much like fretting as anger, fretting as anxiety is destructive to the self. It's a sort of anxiousness, it's a sort of anger that is destructive. Now, fretting weakens and undermines the soul, regardless of whether or not it's the anxious form or the angry form. Fretting can lead to being anxious of envious of wrongdoers. And so we're told in Psalm 73, 21 and 22, that if we begin to fret and become jealous of the wicked, then my soul was embittered. When I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you, speaking of God. So if we allow ourselves to fret because of evildoers, then we become anxious, envious of wrongdoers. And what we're doing is we're eroding our relationship with God, and we're opening ourselves up to a variety of sin. Fretting is one of those sins that opens the door to all kinds of other sins. Now, why does fretting lead to these outcomes? Fretting is destructive because we worship an absolutely sovereign God. When we fret, we begin to undermine this issue of God being sovereign. So we read this in Exodus 4:11. Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" And so if we begin to fret about the things that God is doing, we begin to think that God was not good in the thing that he did. We also read this in Isaiah 45:7, "I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." So when we fret and when we are vexed at evildoers in this form of anxiety, in this form that's being described here, we're not only upset at the sinners, but we're upset at the sovereign God who allows their sin. What we're essentially we're doing is that we're saying to God, "You have not ought to have given that to X, or you ought to have given that to me, and your failure in this regard is a problem." Fretting as an emotion towards God is an accusation of sin against God. Now we must notice again that the issue is here not here that we're confused, but fretting is saying with the psalmist in Psalm 43:3. Fretting is not saying with the psalmist in Psalm 94:3, "O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exalt?" But what fretting is to allow the wickedness of others to undermine our faith and opens our hearts to accusing God himself of wrongdoing. Now, when we accuse God of wrongdoing, we become envious of the wicked, and our hearts incline to evil, and we busy ourselves doing deeds of wickedness in the company of men working iniquity, and we start eating the delicacies of the evil one. And so fretting is a way of opening the door to an awful spiral of depravity. Now, it should be clear that if we were repulsed by evil, if that our smallest sin smelled like a rotting carcass or the spewing of hell, we wouldn't enjoy sin. And yet, one of the ways that we perfume sin is first by fretting over evildoers, becoming envious of them, and then joining them in their wickedness. So how do we obey this command? Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. This is a sin that I am particularly prone to. I don't know if you are, but something gets caught in my head, it becomes a negative feedback loop, it goes around and around and around and around, and then I start thinking bad things about God, and then I'm envious of the wicked, and it goes from there. So how do we overcome this fretting? Well, negatively, we need to remember the lesson of verse 2, "For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." The lusciousness and the beauty and the health of evildoers is not permanent. It is not long-lasting. The treasure of the wicked look good, but they are not permanent. Now, the psalmists admit that God gives the beauty and the treasures of the wicked to them. Just as God created the beauty of the blade of grass and the fragrance of an orchid and the delicacy of the violet, God, all of these blessings are passing. The grass wither, and the flower fades. Further, the pleasure of the wicked fade. It's not just the blessings of the wicked that fade, but actually their pleasure. And all of us should know this from our sin. Lies are valuable only as long as they go undiscovered. Drunkenness leads to hangovers and DWIs, and fornication leads to unwed pregnancies and socially transmitted diseases and so forth. Our anger lasts as a pleasure only for a moment, and then there's the shame that occurs to it. So the pleasures of sin, even in this life, often fade and pass away. Yet we also have to recognize that this is not always the case. There are people like Pol Pot who died in bed. Mao, and very likely so will Fidel Castro and Mugabe. Both of those men are completely evil. There's no evidence that either one of them are saved. And they're very likely just to die in bed surrounded by their families. Their pleasures of their sins were long-lasting. It was sustaining, and it had a multitude of advantages for them. And what is standing behind David's reminder that for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb is not only the passing pleasure of sin in this life, but the promise of judgment. Mugabe and Castro may die surrounded with the absolute best medical care in their nation, denied to many of the other citizens. And then if they die and have not repented of their sins, they will face a private judgment at death and the final judgment of all. Now, the wicked pass away in pleasure, and he wakes into an eternity of suffering. Or as Abraham said to the rich man in Hades, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and you are now in anguish." And our psalm goes on to say in verses 9 and 10, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there." Thus, when we begin to fret over evildoers, we need to slow down and remember that the pleasures of sin are passing, and that even if those pleasures do not pass in this life, when they die, they will go into the shame of the eternity of hell. Now, to keep this in this eternal perspective, we need to follow the command of Matthew 6, 19 through 21. "Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." On my commute to work, there is a mansion, and I have ridden my bike by that mansion many times, and I've been somewhat envious. And then a friend told me that the money for that mansion and the building of that mansion was paid for by seedy bars and strip clubs. So that all of the wealth that that man has accumulated to build that house, to have the Mercedes out front, and to have the swinging gate and all that great stuff, he got through fornication. And as I was riding my bike one day, I was thinking about that, and the Lord brought the thought to mind, would you trade the mansion for Christ? Would you trade getting all of your wealth from strip clubs for Christ? By God's grace, I was able to answer no. But that's the way that it works when we're envious of the wicked and the things that they have. We're not only envious of the things that we have, we are envious of their denial of Christ that brought those things to them. And that's where the sin comes in. Now, when we fret over evil because and we are envious of the wicked, this is because we are too often find our treasure here in this world. And for us to contemplate this, we must place our wealth in heaven. We must be willing to see everything here burn so that we might have wealth in heaven. Now, it will be no comfort to us that the wicked are passing like the flowers of the field if the thing that we want is the temporary blessing of the wicked. It will be no comfort to think of the wicked passing away if the thing that we want is the joys that they have here rather than the joys that God offers us in heaven. So our purpose in this life is not to amass children or fortune or accolades, but rather to serve God and to please him. And so when the evil are reigning and gaining all the enjoyments of this life, we need to recognize that our treasure is in heaven and that we are serving God not for the good things in this life, but for the life to come. And it should be a great comfort to us to think that if Benny Hinn does not repent of his sins and trust in Jesus Christ, he will stand before God and give an account for himself. If that man doesn't repent of his sins, he has to explain to God the Father why he pretended to throw the Holy Spirit. I have to explain lots of sins, not that one. But he'll have to. It's the same for Kim Jong-un or Aku Bakar al-Baghdadi, who is the head of ISIS. These men are going to have to stand before God and explain horrifying things to God. Now, I don't know how it's possible or how it works, but God's word says, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand much more. Hell will somehow be worse and the judgment more terrifying for those who have received the most pleasure and power and preferments in this life, and we have no reason at all to be jealous of these people. Every pleasure that they have got in this life, they will pay for as an eternity in hell. Every person we deal with will someday have to give an explanation to God. And if they have not confessed their sins to God before death, it will be a terrifying end to all of their pleasures. Now this brings us to what we should do instead of fretting over evil. And we find that in verses 3 of 5 of our song. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he will act. Instead of fretting, God calls on us to trust in the Lord. And trusting in the Lord includes praying to God about wickedness, pleading with him to make it stop, and even taking active steps to halt wickedness, but it is not fretting. There's also a time when we've prayed enough, fought enough, and there is a moment that comes that we just hand ourselves over to God's providence. We see this modeled in Jesus' life as he prayed, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. And we see this in the life of Paul, who argued and fought his way through the Jewish and then the Roman court systems. But we read this in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, there was a time where Paul, without fretting, fought against the evil of him being persecuted by the Jews and being beheaded by the Romans. And then the time came when he felt that he had exhausted the options before him, and he submitted to it, but he remained faithful. Paul turned himself over to the hands of the executioner in confidence because he had fought, and in fighting he had kept the faith, and we should fight, but we are always to struggle against evil in faith. The Christian's vocation is to trust God and to do good. We do good by limiting evil, and as much as it is our power to do so, we do good by praying without ceasing and obeying God's word, and sometimes we do it by submitting to God's providences. I want you to think of Joseph sold into slavery, falsely accused after obeying God in prison, prophesying, and then forgotten. Joseph didn't like the conditions under which God had placed him for a good portion of his life, but he kept the faith, and he was always trying to do good, and it should be the same for us. We are to be the people out there trusting God, obeying him, and doing evil, and doing good. Now, when you begin to fret over evil or to envy the wicked, trust in God by doing something good. So if you're discombobulated by the current political environment, confess to God that this is happening, and then go mow your lawn to love God with all of your being and to love your neighbor as yourself, and don't look at any of the yard signs while you're doing it. But do something good. Nothing keeps me from fretting over evil like picking up litter and destroying dandelions. It's an amazing process. God has used it in my sanctification in a multitude of ways. I have worked out more sermon illustrations on dandelions than you can even imagine. I want you to know that this is the tip of the iceberg for dandelion illustrations. But when we begin to fret, whether it's over a small thing or a big thing, go out and do something good. We can also do more sublime goods like sharing the gospel and caring for the poor. If you're fretting over evil is done by a Christian, pray for them. Pray every blessing that you want for yourself for them. Do your best to return good for evil. Now, the thing that keeps us most from fretting over evil is delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Now, there is much to be said about this verse, but if the core of our delight is in the Lord, God will always give us what we want, because the thing that we want more than anything else is God. Now, I know that sometimes people take this verse to mean that if you delight yourself in the Lord, then God will give you all the earthly treasures that you want in addition to God, but this is not the case. and the Christians in Saudi Arabia and Russia and Cuba and North Korea and India and Indonesia and Mexico and many other places can testify that desiring God with all of your life does not get you water in a Mexican city. But it does give you God. We are told in Mark 8:24-27, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Delighting in God saves our souls, but what it gains us in this life is faith and an increasing closeness to God. Yet in the life to come, it gives us everything because we have God. All good gifts accompany God, but the source and the best gift is God Himself. And it can be so easy to forget that. We get so enamored with all of the good things that God offers us that we sometimes forget that the best gift is God Himself. And one of the things that leads to fretting is this beginning to believe that the other gifts are either equal to God or even to behave like that. And this is why we read this in Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is the thing that we are pursuing. The thing that we are pursuing is to live with God. And God's word is abundantly clear. He can take absolutely everything else away from us. But he will not take himself away from us if the thing that we desire is him. So how do we keep from fretting over evildoers and being envious of the wicked? One, monitor your heart. Ask yourself, are you upset that God's name is being dishonored? Or are you upset that God is allowing something you dislike? These are very different activities, though it seems very subtle. But it's important to catch them, this. Fretting is being upset at sin and God at the same time. But to overcome this, we need to keep an eternal perspective. The pleasures of sin are passing. The consequences of enjoying sin are the fires of hell, and the wicked will get what they deserve. And we keep this eternal perspective by trusting in God and acting on that trust by doing good. And finally, we draw to the center of all of our desires and delight, God. We must bring Christ into the center. We must be willing for God to take absolutely everything away from us but Christ. We have to cling to Christ and to make him our delight. And if we do this, someday we will not only have the Spirit of God within us, which is what we talked about this morning, which is an amazing blessing in and of itself, but we read this in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. You see, the promise is that there will be a day when God no longer hides us in the crack of a rock so that his goodness might pass by us. But rather, there will be a day when we see God himself. And we will worship him, and we will be perfect, and all other good benefits will flow to us as long as the thing that we delight in is the Lord, and the thing that we desire is he himself, and he will give us himself in heaven. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, you know how convicting it was to prepare this sermon. Many times that I have fretted, many times that I have been envious. And Lord, it is the same for all of us here. God, we pray that you would teach us not to fret over evildoers and not to be envious of wicked doers, but rather that you would teach us to delight in you in all things, that you would teach us to do good, Oh God, that you would teach us to have an eternal perspective, and that the thing that we want, Lord, would be you and to be in your presence. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.